Amen. You guys can take your seats. Who knows, it's going to be a good night in church when we're talking budgie smugglers from the pulpit. I still have those same budgie smugglers. I said to some guys there, it's just getting tighter every year, but I still wear them. In fact, Ebony actually bought Brave and I matching budgie smugglers. It's the cutest thing. You should see it. I'm training my child in the ways he should go. And Ebony thought it was like really like cute. And she actually bought budgie smudges, whatever you call them, with bananas on them. And I'm just going to leave that right there. My mum was horrified. God's just left. We're going to have to bring him back. And honestly, I'm normally not allowed to talk past 5 o'clock. When I get tired, things get a little wild, but it's going to be okay. But hey, we're going to have a great night tonight. I'm actually so excited and expectant. Give me a wave. Who's been at Powerhouse Conference? So good. And it's totally okay if you weren't, because in this place today is the Holy Spirit. And His fire is here, and I know He is going to minister powerfully to every single heart in this room. And I'm going to keep you guys up just a touch longer. I just wanted to say, hey, if we've never met, it's such a privilege to be sharing tonight. My name is Dan, as Pastor John shared, and I'd love to connect with you after the service if we've never had the pleasure of meeting. As Ebony's, I just love Ebony. Can you stand? My beautiful wife's here. We are sunless today, but we love you, babe. She's the budgie smuggler lady. Bought them for her 3 months. I'm just kidding. She is the most beautiful wife. I love you so much. And I just wanted everyone to meet her. Just one last thing, budgie smugglers. All right, this morning, you know how Pastor Sam talked to that message, how he dacked himself? Now, I'm like here in the room, I'm having the best time, but our Melbourne East, a lot of people, our family were down in Melbourne still watching online, and so I'm giving comments in the chat, and what I forgot is that it's like delayed about a minute, okay? And I'm like on there going, that's awesome, so good, and one of our team in Melbourne just texted me, he's like, do you know, as soon as he said that his pants fell down, you commented, that's the best thing ever, that's so good. And I'm like, yeah, of course I knew that. Whoops. Oh, so funny. So funny. Oh, man. I shouldn't be allowed on YouTube either. Anyway, I just want to say before I get into tonight's message, Pastor John and Dan, Ebony and I just love you so much. We honor you. And I just wanted to say publicly, thank you so much for believing in us. Thank you so much for empowering us. And thank you so much for the example you set for us. And I just know without a shadow of a doubt, I would not be who I am today or where I am today if God didn't bless me to place me under your leadership. And I'm just so grateful that now my son gets to grow up in the house of God, a house that you've built, a house that you've fought for, and how precious that my dad's here, my mom, my nana comes sometimes, and now my son's going to grow up in the house of the Lord. And so we love and honor you. Ebenezer's heart is that you would succeed in all that God's called you to, and we love to serve under your leadership. Can we honor Pastor John and Dan, who loves our senior leaders? They're the absolute best. And I saw before in the meet and greet, I hope you don't mind, Louis is over here. Can you stand up, Louis? Hey, last time I was at the Sunshine Coast location, I had the privilege of preaching, and Louis came to church. It's like your third time or fourth time in church, and Louis gave his heart to the Lord for the first time. And I just want to say, Louis, I'm so proud of you, man. I'm so glad you're in the house of God. And do you know what I see all over your life is a gift of evangelism. You are called to be a soul winner. And you've got two awesome friends there. You guys stand up too. Now, can you tell me what uni do you guys go to? Sunny Coast Uni. I really just sense for you guys that God has called you to be evangelists in the university there. And I just see that you guys filling a row. It's going to start with one row and it will turn to two rows of your friends and people you've ministered to. And I just really want to encourage the three of you. I just see a fire on you and that fire is going to spread into the university. Is that cool? I love you guys. God bless you. And I'm so proud of you, Louis. You're a legend. Absolute legend. All right, let me share our key verse tonight. Then we'll pray. Then I'll release these guys. You haven't stood much this weekend, right? So you're fine. Just, no, just kidding. Acts 13, verse 22. After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him. Hear these words tonight. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Can we just reach out to God in your hearts right now? Lord, I just thank you that here tonight, you would move in power. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. And Lord, I ask as we look into the Word of God, you would speak to every heart. Lord, I am asking that here tonight, your Word would come specifically and with clarity to every single person in this room. And I just declare that tonight will be a launch pad for many people in this room. It's a launch pad into their destiny that you will set apart, consecrate, and separate to yourself people here and now in Jesus' name. So we say, come and have your way. We love you, Lord Jesus. And everyone said, amen. 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 Thank you. God bless you, band. You can take your seats. You guys have done so good all weekend long. I'm wondering if anyone can relate to me. Have you ever had God ask you to do something that just seemed absolutely crazy? Have you ever had God ask you to do something that seems challenging? I know I have many times. How did you respond to that moment? I remember a night, I want to take you, Ebony, can you come up here just for a moment? Yeah. No, she's giving me the nods, but come on, yeah. Let's give my beautiful wife a big hand. She's so hot. I'm getting threatened right now. You can just face me, just look into my eyes. I want to take everyone back to this beautiful date night. No, don't look at them, just look at me. It's okay. We had this beautiful date night. We'd been married to, you hate me right now, don't you? Oh. And Ebony and I were having a date night. I remember it like it was yesterday. We were holding hands. The moonlight was just reflecting in my eyes. My non-balding head filled with hair was flowing in the wind. You told me just how thankful you are to God every day, just for the body that the Lord gave me and how good a husband I am and just how you... Is that what you remember too? Or is that just, I must have dreamed it. Which day night? I love you. You can go get your seat. I just wanted to embarrass you. But that was a joke, everyone. I love you. That didn't happen. That was me and my dreams. But Ebony and I were on a date night. We were looking in each other's eyes. We had been married 2 years. And I just remember it. We were out at Mooloolaba, kid-free, didn't have kids then. We were at a date night looking into each other's eyes. And what we talked about was not what I just dreamed of. But what we did talk about is I remember looking at her and she looking at me and we said, how awesome is our life right now? We literally said to each other, this is the life we had dreamed of. This is the life we'd been working so hard for. This is the life that when we were dating, that when we dream of the future, this was how life we wanted it to go. And we were thankful to the Lord. He'd been so good to us. To give you some context, we'd been married 2 years. God blessed me with the most beautiful wife. I'm still to this day thankful to the Lord for the beautiful woman she gave, he blessed me with. She's the first thing I thank God for every day. We had just bought our dream home. It was a miracle. Every single day, I could ride my bike to the beach in 2 minutes, or we could walk there in 6 minutes. It was the dream. I remember I'd just graduated uni, and I actually got a miraculous job. I was teaching part-time. Ebony and I were the youth pastors here as well. It was a miracle. We were in a great season leading youth. We'd gone through a few hard seasons, but we were just in this great momentum and teenagers were giving their life to Christ and people were being developed and raised up and it was awesome. We had dreamt of starting a family soon and we envisioned those beautiful children growing up in the house we had bought. We could see it. We could see them growing up at the beach and on the coast. And to be completely honest with you, it was like we'd worked really hard for that. It was like a dream come true moment. Now do you remember that date night? Not the one in my dreams. Yeah, I'm not lying. Okay. And it's funny because about 2 weeks later, we find ourselves in Pastor John and Dan's office. And I thought we were just going in for another wall that someone had broke. And our office manager had complained enough times now that the senior pastor was going to get me in trouble. But it wasn't that. In that meeting, I call it a meeting that absolutely changed the course of our future and our destiny. We got asked if we would consider moving to Melbourne to plant our location. And I want to be completely honest with everyone here tonight. If at that time and in that season, you had sat down Ebony or sat down myself and asked, would you actually want to move to Melbourne? The honest answer would have been no. If someone had asked, did you want to move away from your family, move away from your friends, from your beautiful spiritual home here? If I'm honest, the answer would have been no. We sought God together, both her and I individually, as a couple. We did everything we knew to do. We sought wise counsel. We did everything that we know to do in those moments that Pastor John's going to talk about next week. But you know, we heard clearly that God said go. God said go. And you know, for all of us in our life, I've learned that hearing is only half of the equation. We got direction pretty quickly. But do you know, for each and every one of us, what is the next step after we hear the word of the Lord? Comes a second question. Will we obey the word of the Lord? Woo! And Eb and I went on that journey together. We had a decision to make. Will we obey? And maybe you find yourself in a similar place here tonight. I know many of us were just at conference. And if not, that's totally okay. But maybe you have heard the word of the Lord. God has revealed to you what is next, what's to come, a next step for you to take. Maybe you've heard the call to ministry. Maybe you've heard a call to do Bible college. Maybe you felt in your spirit to do internship. Maybe you heard God say, I want you to start a connect group. Maybe God put someone in your heart he wants you to evangelize to. Maybe God asked you to start a business. Maybe God, I don't know what God asked you to do. But the question remains tonight. Oh yeah, of course. Did God ask you to be one of the five to move to Sydney? Come on, people. Come on, Teresa. The next question is, will we obey? Maybe tonight your next step is actually beginning a relationship with God. Maybe you're here tonight and it might be your first time in church. Maybe you've never heard this good news that there's a God who loves you. Well, a bit later in the service, I'm going to give you that opportunity. I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. Pastor Phil says in one of his books, every single believer has a calling and a destiny on their life, but few will live it out as it has a price tag. Obedience. And Ebony and I, in that season of our life, we learned the good news. It sounds tough, but it's good that the pain of obedience is far less than the cost of disobedience. The pain of obedience is temporary, but the cost of disobedience is permanent. So where are we right now? Many of us have been at conference. If not, there is a faith-charged atmosphere here tonight. We have been touching heaven, hearing the word of God, inspired by some of our nation's best preachers. We've heard the Holy Spirit. We've been set on fire. But the reality, unfortunately, for all of us is tomorrow's Monday, right? Tomorrow conference doesn't keep going. The mundane's coming. We're going to our workplace tomorrow. We're going to our university and school tomorrow. And it begs the question, well, what now? I want you to turn to the person next to you. Say, what now? What now? How do we keep this fire from conference going? How do we ensure we do what God asks us to do? And if I'm honest with you guys, if I imagine from my own heart, what's the worst case scenario coming out of a conference like we've just been a part of, is that in 1 month time, my life is not any different. In 1 month time, I'm not closer to Jesus than I am right now. If in 1 month time, my destiny hasn't gone deeper than it is right now. The power of an encounter is not the encounter itself, but what we do with it. The power of an encounter is what we do it. Elijah went up on the mountaintop and encountered God. Life-changing. The whisper of God. But what came on the mountaintop? It was instruction. And Elijah had a decision. Will I do what the Lord asked me to do? And as he took that step and did what God asked him to do, that's where the transformation happened. Obedience is the bridge between an encounter and the outcome. Obedience is the bridge between intention and reality, between faith and between action. And it all comes back to this original question I want us all to reflect with the Spirit of God tonight. Will we obey? Will we obey? Obedience is the proof that you trust God more than you trust yourself. So Ebony and I, we heard the Lord. As clear as I've ever heard him on a decision. We were terrified. There was a cost. There was pain. It's temporary. But we made the decision, Lord, yes, we will obey. We said yes. The truth is the pain of the obedience was real in the moment. It wasn't easy in the moment. We're not here saying obedience is always easy. Jesus asked us to count the costs. Yet I can honestly say today, we're about 5.5 years on now, I can say that God has absolutely exceeded every single dream we thought we were sacrificing, we thought we were laying down. Today, God has absolutely exceeded them. So much more than we could ask or think or imagine. If you had told us 5 years ago, the life we're living now, the blessings of God now, we would have absolutely fainted and fallen off this stage and you would have thought I'd died. That's how shocked we would have been at the goodness of God. Obedience is the proof that you trust God more than you do yourself. Because here's the good news, friend. If God's asked us to do something, he is good, he is faithful, he has a plan for your life. God's plan is better than our plan and it is our best life. Amen? Come on, thank God for that. Give him some praise. If you trust him, woo! We never come second putting God first. We never regret putting God first. I've never met someone who regretted obeying God, but I have met hundreds of people who have regretted disobeying him. I regret, my deepest regrets in my life are the moments I disobeyed the Lord. Deepest regrets. So here today, I've titled my message, After God's Own Heart. And I want to look at two aspects of a young man in the Bible who was called. But more importantly than called, he was chosen to do great things. Let's come back to that verse we started in Acts chapter 13. After removing Saul, he made David their king. And God testified about him saying, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Here, Paul is preaching in Antioch, telling the Israelites about a tale of two kings we can read in 1 Samuel. A king named Saul and a king named David. The crazy thing about Saul and David is from the outside, there was probably very little to the human eye that separated them. Saul was called, David was called. Saul was gifted, David was gifted. In fact, by the human eye, if you were to compare them, you'd actually think Saul was more up for the job. The Bible says he was attractive. He was the obvious choice. He was a head above the rest. He was a successful military leader. But we read about David. He was this ruddy young boy, overlooked by all, even his own family. So if they were both called, they were both gifted. What actually separated these two kings, Saul and David? And the answer actually is quite simple, but profound. It was their heart. God chooses people he wants to use. And that's what I prophetically see tonight. The Lord is looking through this room. He is looking through this generation. He is looking for people he can use where his hand comes on their life and he elevates them. But what is he looking for? That's what we're going to look into tonight. 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord said to Samuel, who was the prophet, And the prophet looked at, like, at this David and was like, what do you mean, God? But check this out. Do not consider his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. So just because we've got a call of God on our life does not mean God will choose to use us. Saul had a call, but in this moment he gets rejected by God. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at what? The heart. Man does not promote or demote. It is always the Lord. He promotes. He demotes. His eyes search to and fro throughout the earth for a heart fully committed to him. He sees through everything into our hearts. And where others saw a worthless shepherd boy, God saw a giant slaying, worshiping warrior. It doesn't matter what other people see. It matters what the Lord sees. What is he looking for? God is looking for hearts that seek him, that are humble, that are faithful, that are obedient and are teachable. Ultimately, God is looking for someone he can trust. Isn't this an amazing thought? God can either trust or not trust us based on the level of our obedience. And more than the gifts on our life, because he's the one who gave them to us anyway, more than the calling on our life, because he's the one who gave us to us anyway, he is looking, can he trust us that when he asks us to do something, how we will obey. See, David was secure, Saul insecure. David was teachable, Saul was stubborn. David relied on God, Saul relied on himself. David was humble and Saul was proud. David loved to please the Lord, Saul lived to please man. Pride was Saul's downfall, which led to disobedience, which led to God rejecting him as king. And God chose David, a man after his own heart. Saul was rejected by God, but David chosen. And it begs the tough question for us to reflect on tonight. Are we going to be a Saul or are we going to be a David? And what I love about this, guys, is the decision is completely within our own heart. Our pastors can't make us this or that. Even God can't make us this or that. We need to choose, will I be a person who is a man or a woman after God's own heart who will obey? Or for whatever reason, will I be someone who disobeys? This is the cost. Jesus said, count the cost. The cost of fulfilling our calling is a lifestyle of obedience. Everyone say obedience. So let's look at two aspects of this scripture. Number one was a heart after God. That's my first thought here tonight. God was looking for and found in David a man after God's own heart. A man who loved him, a man who would seek him, a man whose eyes were on him, a man who feared him. In fact, David, it shows his heart in scripture that what he wanted more than anything else on this earth was to seek the Lord. He had a heart after God, and it was a theme throughout his whole life. In fact, let's look right now together at Psalm 27. David wrote this, and he said, one thing I ask from the Lord. If you could have one thing to ask God tonight, what would you ask? Would it be for wealth? Would it be for fame? Would it be for your dreams to come to pass and your desires? David could have asked anything, but it says, this one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. What is your one thing here tonight? What is my one thing? What am I seeking above all else? Not what I say I am, but at the depths of my heart and my soul. What am I hungry for? What am I living for? And if it's not perfect tonight, that's completely okay. But let's let the Holy Spirit recalibrate us tonight. Let's come back to our first love. Let's come back to that place of Jesus, you are all I want and all I need. As God peels our heart back today, what does he see? What do we seek? I remember, Teresa, block your ears. Just before we were about to plant, we were about 1 or 2 months out of launch day. And I thought it'd be a great idea to look at this amazing church planting course from America by like this world-renowned church planter. There were 8 one-hour long sessions. I was like, this is going to be awesome. And I'm listening to all of these 8 of them. And I got to tell you, I probably have never been more depressed in my entire life. The first session, I'm like, don't gut that. No, I can't do that. We definitely don't have that. And by the end of it, I'm like, God, have you even called us to plant a church? He'd make statements like, you need this amount in the bank before you start a church and this many, and it's like, oh my gosh, I started to freak out. We had committed now. It was on social media. The fear of failure in my mind was wild. And I'm crying out to God, look, God, I feel like the worst leader in the world. I can't do this. This guy said I suck. We should all give him a 1-star Google review right now. Rebuke it. I'm not naming and shaming. He's a great man of the Lord. But it didn't help me. I'm on my knees crying out to God. And I know it's funny now. But I'm not joking. I'm on my knees, like, I remember it one night, probably midnight, freaking out, Jesus help. Like, I just want to just crawl up into a ball and run away, and this can be Ebony's problem now. And I'm just here going, Lord, help me. And he just said this one line to me that set me up for the next season to go into church planning. I'm sitting there in prayer, going, Lord, I just can't do this. I suck. What the heck? And he says, Daniel, I didn't choose you because you're a great leader. I chose you because you love me. And it might not sound like much to you tonight, but for me, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Because he was reminding me that your calling is not based on your leadership or your gift or your calling. Your calling will be fulfilled because you love me. And I have chosen you. I have found a man after your own heart. The key to my calling was in the secret place. Get on your knees. Don't worry about what others are doing and seek me. And he gave me all I needed. And we planted that location, baby. The number one thing that will qualify you to fulfill your calling is love for Jesus. And the number one way we prepare for our calling is our prayer life and our word life. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. So for us, we've all been set on fire this week. Those who've been at conference, those who are here tonight. But the reality is the fire will fade down. What's our job? We've been set on fire. We need to put logs on that fire. What does that look like? It means tomorrow morning we get up early, earlier than we normally would, and we get in that secret place and we pray. And then the next day we get up and after we pray, we open the Word of God. And we read it. It means next Sunday we're in the house of God, both services. And what I'm trying to say here is, guys, it's our responsibility to stay on fire for God. So how is God inviting you to go deeper in your prayer life? Do you need to come back to your first love tonight? A man after God's own heart. A woman after God's own heart. And that's the number one qualifier to be used by God. And secondly, as I bring this message to a close, David had a heart to obey. This statement is so strong. It said, I have found a man who will do everything I want him to do. It's a big statement. God trusted him when he saw his heart. He had a heart that wanted to obey. Now, what's awesome and helps us all here tonight is we know the story. Was David perfect? Absolutely not. He made many mistakes, but what he would do in his moments of mistakes, he was always come back to this heart. He had a heart after God and to do everything he wanted him to do. See, I have found in my own walk with God is that obedience matters to God more than we think. And obedience is only tested when we disagree. When his will and my will clash, that is the test of obedience. I have found it's easier to obey God when I agree with him. But when Ebony and I have a will of this awesome life in Queensland and this and that, and then God has a will of us moving to Melbourne to plan a location and they clash, that is what we call the obedience test. And I believe there has been some holy clashing over this last weekend. What are we gonna do with it? Will we obey or not? And I love this line. It's an action line. He will do. Everyone say do. It's an action word. It's not like he'll think about it. He'll hear it. He'll journal about it. He'll tell his connect group. No, do. He will do it. James 2:17 says, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So we have had this great encounter. We've been inspired by his voice. We've heard him say, this is what I want you to do. But the decision of what we are going to do is up to us. And we have two choices. It's so simple. We can either say, yes, God, and obey, like David. Or for whatever reason, we can be like Saul and choose to disobey. And this might hurt a little bit, this hurts me, but partial obedience is still disobedience. See, Saul did partially obey. He wasn't completely disobedient. He was partially obedient. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. I feel God calling me to do internship, but it's just not the right season. I feel God calling me to go to Teresa and say, I think this is the, I'm going to do the next church plant. Whatever it looks like, let's act. David was a man of action. He did whatever the Lord wanted him to do. And as I invite the whole band up, please. See, I've learned a lifetime of obedience is made up of small moments of obedience. See, Ebony and I's first obedience test wasn't, will you move to Melbourne? It was when I was 17 and I sat down with Josh 2 weeks after I got saved and he said, I want you to start a connect group. There are some boys who need you to love them. And then a few months later, Josh said, I want you to now help, can you help oversee another connect group? And I did that. And then God asked me to love this person and I loved that person. And then he put a friend on my heart to invite to church and I prayed for them and I brought them to church. And then he adjusted some behaviors in my life. I want you to stop doing this, stop watching this, stop hanging out with them, stop doing this and that. Obedience test after obedience test. The big and the small. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifetime of obedience. And between us now today and hearing Jesus say, well done, my good and faithful servant, is hundreds and probably thousands of moments and decisions, big and small. Move to Sydney. Stop going on Instagram so much. I want you to lay down your life one day a week and do internship. I just want you to love on that person at your university who everyone else bullies. The big and the small. Will we be obedient? Will we be a man and a woman after God's own heart? God uses people he can trust, who love him, who obey him.